This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. On today's show, Ottawa and Saskatchewan announced a top-up to the Canada-Saskatchewan feed program. Sask Barley is investing over $850,000 towards barley research over the next 5 years. And the farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first, following the break, is the announcement from yesterday about a top-up to the Canada-Saskatchewan feed program.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Producers enrolled in the 2023 Canada-Saskatchewan feed program will be getting a top-up to help cover extraordinary costs for transportation of feed and help maintain the breeding herd. The federal provincial program was introduced last October in response to drought conditions felt across the province, especially in the southwest and west central regions. Provincial Agriculture Minister David Merritt says how much a producer will get depends on whether they're in an area identified under the Canadian Drought Monitor or under the provincial-only area.
Producers within the designated regions, as originally guided by the Canadian Drought Monitor map, will receive a top-up of up to $50 per head. Applicants that were in the provincial-only area will receive a top-up of $20 per head.
Merritt expanded on how the payments work from a federal and provincial perspective.
The feds had drawn a boundary on what RMs were in and what weren't. And in January, they added 9 RMs, but there's still some that weren't in the program. So that's where the $50 will come in, is for all those RMs that are under that federal umbrella. The ones that aren't, that weren't eligible, the province had said we were going to pay up our $80 per head anyway, so we're going to pay our additional $20 on that. We paid $60, and now we're going to pay the additional $20 to them. We'll also, we'll reach out to the federal government to see if they will look at opening it up.
Initial payments were prorated to a maximum of 75% of the total payment based on a producer's application. When applying, producers had to submit proof of costs incurred for purchasing or transporting feed or for land rented for additional grazing between May 1st, 2023 and the application deadline of March 15th this year. There were 3,486 applications submitted, and Merritt says a good chunk of them are from a few regions of the province.
Most of them are kind of in the southwest, southern part, and up on the west side as well is probably the bulk of them. We had over 3,600 applications that were filed and completed, so that's where we're at today.
The announcement was made from the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association head office in Regina. The Cattlemen's Association played a role in the development of the feed program. Vice Chair of the SCA, Chad Ross, appreciates the continued support from both levels of government.
This announcement today is appreciated because it helps provide those producers who applied for the program with even more support going forward into the spring and throughout the year. Increasing the threshold for eligible costs from 75 to 100% will definitely help producers plan for their herds this year and make it possible to access more feed if necessary.
Ross is a producer from the Estevan area and has used the program himself.
If this program wasn't available for us to buy feed, then we would have to sell cows. We'd have to sell bred cows and reduce our herds to make do and get through. And being able to access these dollars to buy feed, in our situation, we bought grain, screenings, some protein supplement that we could extend some of our lower quality forages. And it just helped a bunch for us to retain the females that we had.
Ross added he didn't have to go far to purchase feed.
We purchased grain because grain made the most sense for us to bring in, and that actually we're right on the border, so we brought in corn from the U.S. to do that, as well as we did purchase some screenings and oat hulls from local elevators, and the protein supplement we bought locally.
The provincial government contributed $70 million and the federal government $77 million towards the program last fall. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today, we'll have a feature on Sask Barley. They've made an announcement of investing just over $850,000 towards some research over the next 5 years. We'll find out what that entails and what they're looking at right after the break.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, farmers insuring farmers. See municipalhail.ca. The Saskatchewan Barley Development Commission is committing over $850,000 towards barley research over 5 years. Research and Extension Manager with Sask Barley, Mitchell Japp, says the research will focus on areas of concern for barley growers in the province.
They are looking at managing maturity and uniformity in barley, crop establishment, disease pressure, and marketability. And so the projects are taking place across the prairies.
Uniform maturity in barley is one of the challenges producers have faced.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's an ongoing issue. Those late tillers that come in, they can be limiting as to when you're harvesting the crop. It needed to be consistently dry down, consistent maturity. It also presents an issue when we're managing for diseases like Fusarium head blight. You know, the Fusarium head blight pathogen is a pretty severe one. It's not one we've seen as much pressure from in the last few years when it's been so dry. But we know that it's going to rear its ugly head again when we get wet. And so having tools to manage that uniformity throughout the growing season will benefit growers both at harvest as well as Fusarium management, because that fungicide application timing is pretty critical. And to be able to get most of the heads covered in one pass with the fungicide, that Fusarium timing is pretty critical to managing that disease well.
Another focus is testing mycotoxins.
So mycotoxins actually ties in quite closely to Fusarium head blight. So the most common mycotoxin that is talked about around Fusarium head blight is vomitoxin or deoxynivalenol. And so that is something that grain buyers are looking for. They're looking for low levels of that mycotoxin because it can cause issues. There's limits both for feed and for human consumption, and so those have to be managed as well. And so the projects we've got this year are looking into mycotoxins like deoxynivalenol, also called vomitoxin, as I mentioned, or DON. And so those are really, I think, are part of us looking at marketability of the crop to be able to better understand what the impact of these mycotoxins are and to get good measurements of them.
The announcement adds to the 40 other current research projects funded by Sask Barley. The projects supported were reviewed and funded in collaboration with the Agriculture Funding Consortium. Up next, following our next break, is AgriView with Doug Falconer, as always, as he'll have the latest agriculture headlines, one of which related to a federal funding announcement, as well as the latest going on in Ukraine. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Managed money fund traders continue to chip away at the large net short position in canola futures. That's according to the latest Commitments of Traders report from the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission. As of April 2nd, the net managed money short position in canola futures came in at 89,739 contracts, which was down by roughly 6,000 contracts from the previous week. Open interest in the canola market was down by 5,442 contracts on the week at 288,530 contracts. At the Chicago Board of Trade, the net short position in soybeans was up by about 4,000 contracts to come in at around 127,000 contracts. Soy oil futures saw the recently established net long grow to just over 7,000 contracts from only 131 contracts the previous week. The BC company that operates Canada's largest container terminal is going to court against the federal government to keep 5 years of greenhouse gas emissions data secret. GCT Canada Limited Partnership says the Minister of Environment and Climate Change wants to publish emissions data from the Deltaport facility south of Vancouver under the Federal Greenhouse Gas Reporting Program. The company says in a federal court application that the information is a trade secret and publicly releasing it would cause both financial loss and harm to the firm's competitive position. GCT Canada says in the judicial review application that the ministry is wrongfully singling out Deltaport and that no facilities run by competitors are required to report emissions numbers. The company says its emissions data could be used by competitors, customers, and others to cause the company losses. The federal government has pledged up to $5 million in funding for agriculture and food processing robotics in hopes of addressing ongoing workforce challenges. Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McAuley says these cutting-edge solutions will help the sector overcome some of the challenges it faces, leading to a more prosperous and competitive future for Canadian agriculture. Five projects were funded, up to $1 million each. These included projects to develop a robotic mushroom harvester, packer, and harvest lift, another to develop a robotic arm to pick, harvest, and de-leaf cucumbers and strawberries, a robotic arm to work alongside humans to harvest fruit and vegetables, and others related to task automation. The European Union has provisionally agreed to restrictions on Ukrainian food imports, which some EU members say have destabilized the bloc's agricultural markets. EU decision makers have wrangled for weeks on limits to tariff-free access for Ukrainian produce as farmers protested about cheap imports, with some in Poland blocking the border with Ukraine and spilling Ukrainian grain across railroad tracks. EU lawmakers and Belgium, which holds the six-month rotating EU presidency, said they had reached a deal on the curbs. This will still require approval from other EU members and the European Parliament. The European Commission proposed in January extending tariff-free access until June 2025, but with a so-called emergency break for poultry, eggs, and sugar to apply tariffs if imports exceeded the average of 2022 and 2023 levels. Since then, oats, maize, groats, and honey have been added. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather, and Phil, looking at the forecast for today, a little bit of cloud, a little bit of sun, and some warm temperatures.
Yeah, nice and mild. We're in double digits already coming out of the morning. We'll be between 13 and 15 through the afternoon. There will be some cloudiness around, watching radar showing a few showers, but it's also showing just a few clouds, when that means the cloud cover is limited, the showers under that cloud cover even more limited. As a result, the chance of any showers holding together at all, about 20%, the chance for any of those really being measurable rain is even lower. Tonight, tomorrow, the same threat remains, even tomorrow, slightly better chance through about midday for any of those showers to be measurable, but still they're going to be spotty. We drop off to 2 degrees on the plus side tonight, 12 for the afternoon tomorrow. A little breeze does pick up through the day. In fact, it could gust as high as 50 to 60 kilometers per hour. Best bet for those higher gusts is right after the shower threat. Shower threat through about midday, late morning, early afternoon, strongest winds. Then they diminish. Wednesday night, clear sky. We drop back, though, to below freezing, minus one to low. Thursday, mostly sunny sky, 11 will do it. Partly to mostly sunny on Friday, 17, and a mostly sunny day on Saturday. Getting up to 19, we're not far from that on Sunday either.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 10 degrees. The lows, minus 3 degrees. Sun rose in Regina at 6:16 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:45 tonight. Taking a look around the province in Assiniboia, Swift Current, 13. Estevan, Mooseman, 14. Saskatoon is at 11. 12 degrees in Yorkton, Melville, and Weyburn. The hot spot in the province is in Island Falls at 15.5 degrees. Cold spot in Buffalo Narrows at 8.4. In Regina, it's a mostly cloudy sky. Winds from the southwest at 19 kilometers an hour. Humidity at 45%. Temperature 11 degrees or 52 Fahrenheit. And the barometric pressure is at 100.7 and falling. In Moose Jaw, also mostly cloudy. West-southwest wind at 11 kilometers an hour. Temperature 11 degrees. Again in Regina, mostly cloudy. Southwest wind at 19 kilometers an hour. And the temperature 11 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. A quick search of hashtag seed oils on TikTok shows influencers with hundreds of thousands of followers warning consumers to stop buying products containing seed oils such as canola oil. Those influencers claim seed oils are heavily processed, have been bleached and deodorized, and cause gut inflammation, among other criticisms. Lynn Weaver, Market Development Manager for Sask Canola and Sask Flax, said social media criticisms are nothing new.
Absolutely. We have seen those videos. So those flashy TikTok videos with those before and after photos are much sexier than any evidence-based nutrition guidelines are. And videos tagged with hashtag seed oils have been viewed over 31 million times. So it is predominant and it is out there. It is really tricky because people like myself, doctors and dietitians and researchers, we use peer-reviewed medical and nutrition journals to make our recommendations. However, anyone on TikTok can make any kind of recommendation or finding that they would like. And it's not surprising. It's entertainment. And people go to sources like TikTok to do their so-called research.
Weaver, who is also a registered dietitian, says the criticism that canola is processed is unfounded, as most food found in the grocery store is processed in some way.
Yeah, so from what I've been seeing or the last couple of years with the influencers, they do talk about processing. So they're saying that canola oil is an ultra-processed oil. They also talk about the unhealthy ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 fats, and they mention that they're inflammatory, and there's also a little bit of conspiracy theories behind them as well. So I would like to talk about them. Canola oil and other seed oils are very healthy. And I think if we just look back to what a processed food is a food that's undergone changes to its natural state. So any agriculture raw commodity like wheat or canola needs to be washed, cleaned, milled, dried, and then that makes it processed. So virtually all food sold in the grocery store would be classified as a processed food. There are different classifications of processed food, and canola oil or other seed oils would be classified as a processed culinary ingredient. And this means that they are typically not eating on their own, but used to prepare other foods. So you don't eat oil on your own, but you do use it when you're making things like salad dressing or cooking with it. And other examples of a processed culinary ingredient would be vinegar and honey and even maple syrup. It's something that is natural, but it gets processed in order for us to eat it.
After the break, we'll hear more from Weaver about other criticisms and the launch of a social media campaign to fight against the misinformation. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. We're back with Lynn Weaver, Market Development Manager for Sask Canola and Sask Flax. Other criticisms of seed oils is that they're bleached and deodorized. Weaver said while those aren't the best terms to use and may sound scary, the process is pretty common.
What the process of bleaching does is it takes away that color, but it's actually not bleached. It's actually put through organic clay, and that's what takes out the color. We also use the term bleaching for flour, and that's what gives flour that white color. But they're probably not the best processing terms, but they are what's used in the industry, and it's something that we wouldn't do at home anyways, right? We don't make our own canola oil, and we don't process our own flour. So those are terms that they would use in the industry that consumers are, or influencers are grasping or grabbing a hold of and running with, but that's not what happened. Bleach is not used.
Weaver says that while the videos on TikTok have amassed over 30 million views, they have yet to impact sales or the market for seed oils.
Yeah, I would say no. So canola oil still remains the number one oil used in Canada and the number one oil used in other countries like Japan. It's the United States is our number one buyer of canola oil, and we export over 90% of canola oil across the world. So no, canola oil and other seed oils are high in demand. And in fact, I can say coconut oil, which was popular maybe 5 or 10 years ago, coconut oil sales, when we look at retail data, is actually decreasing in its sale in Canada.
Weaver said canola organizations have launched a social media campaign of their own to combat the misinformation.
Yes, absolutely. So about 2 years ago, we started working together. So Alberta Canola, Sask Canola, and the Manitoba Canola Growers. We started working together within our market development, within our domestic market development, to work together. We knew that if we worked together, we would actually have more of an impact than working individually in our provinces. And we have a new campaign called Hello Canola. And if you have a chance, go to our new Hello Canola website, and there's lots of information about canola there, not just for its use in food, but its use in pet food, its use in biofuel, its use in makeup and cosmetics. And we have a really cute campaign where we have Canadian canola, so it's a female, and she actually goes out into the streets of Toronto, and she asks people what they know about canola and some of the other attributes, and they're really, really cute videos, and we've had a lot of fantastic and terrific feedback about them. So yes, we are doing something, and we look forward to doing more in the future.
That was Lynn Weaver, the Market Development Manager for Sask Canola and Sask Flax. Coming up next is the market update. We'll have a look at how grain prices at Viterra are doing in early trading after the break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices at Viterra were down in early trading today. Canola is down 50 cents to $6.05.32. Number one red spring wheat is down $3.10 to $300.32 a metric ton. The rest were unchanged. Durum, $3.87.37. Feed barley, $2.32.58. Chickpeas, $9.92.08. Flax, $6.29.54. Lentils, $7.32.50. Oats, $2.55.32. Yellow peas, $4.74.72. And feed wheat, $2.33.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 9¾ cents to $6.40.5 a bushel. Up next is the Livestock Report.
The Saskag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of April 9th. Our last regular sale was on March 27th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.60 to $1.83. D3 cows sold from $1.30 to $1.60. Counter cows sold from $1 to $1.30. Heiferettes sold from $2.20 to $2.50. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.70 to $1.85. We had a pre-sorted calf sale here on Monday. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $4.10. And sold up to $4.50. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $4.56 and sold up to $4.70. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $4.33 and sold up to $4.70. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $4.21 and sold up to $4.55. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $4.14 and sold up to $4.40. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $3.82 and sold up to $4.17. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $3.80 and sold up to $4.06. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $3.57 and sold up to $3.85. And 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $3.30 and sold up to $3.47. Heifers were about 35 to 50 cents back from the steers. Some of the highlights from the sale were a group of 500-pound grasser steers at $4.54 a pound, a load of 600-pound black steers at $4.14 a pound, a load of 650-pound black steers at $4.06 a pound, a load of 700-pound black steers at $3.85 a pound, and a load of 800 Angus steers at $3.47 a pound. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
The latest pork prices are at $210.82 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the Saskag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Tech experts are hopeful that $2.4 billion in federal funding recently announced for Canada's artificial intelligence industry will accelerate the adoption of technology and help businesses commercialize AI products and services. The federal government announced Sunday that its upcoming budget will set aside the cash to bolster Canada's AI sector. Krista Jones, Chief Delivery Officer at the Mars Discovery District Innovation Hub in Toronto, says the announcement is exciting for the industry and will help it move from researching AI to more widespread commercialization. Maryland Governor Wes Moore plans to meet this week with members of Congress to discuss support for rebuilding the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. Moore said Monday that he'll meet with leaders to let them know that it's not a partisan issue, but a patriotic responsibility to support one of the country's great economic engines. The bridge collapsed March 26th after being struck by a cargo ship. Authorities believe six workers who were on the bridge plunged to their deaths. Moore says the state remains focused on supporting the workers' families and bringing them closure. Turning over to the markets, the TSX is up 48 points at 22,308. The Dow is down 112 points to 38,780. Oil is down $1.18 at $85.25 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is at 73.60 US. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's going to do it for Tuesday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice
day. This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.